So my plan tonight was to sit in the van and do some audios, but something has been egging me for a day or two. I don't ever check Facebook no more. I use Facebook. Funny, I'm saying this. I use Facebook to find out if anybody's passed away or, you know, basically that's it now. I mean, the only way that you really find out that information. I mean, everything else is just all the same shit. I have, like, only 90 friends on Facebook, and they pretty much all post the same shit, just in different formats. Well, it's, and I do the same thing. I mean, I use Facebook. I post every day. I post one quote, you know, from something I read or something like that, and that's it. And so I can't really make fun of other people, but I don't really post the quotes for other people. I post them for me because I've tried emailing them to myself and all that. I just find Facebook's the best way to categorize all the quotes. But I went on there because I've been wondering. I haven't, you know, that's the thing. Like, you see people's, when you go on there, you'll see people's posts. And I always see a certain amount of a couple of friends. And there was one friend that I haven't seen in a while, any of his posts. And so I went and looked, and turns out he passed away a couple of weeks ago. Didn't know. And it sucks because it sucks for, sucks, just sucks because it was somebody that I knew. You know, I mean, but his name is Scott. Scotty, we called him Scotty. Corner Scotty. So, Scott, if anybody listens to this, and if you know that I do the homeless outreach stuff, like, I'm more than likely, if you know my stories, you more than likely heard the stories of Scotty. So, Scotty was a couple years younger than me, 44, and when I first started doing the homeless outreach, like, you know, I can't really call it outreach. I mean, I drive around in my van and I give socks and food out and whatever I can afford to other people. That's it. It's not really, I'm not like getting them housing or anything like that. I mean, I do help them if they want to get jobs. If they need a ride someplace, I'll give them a ride. Whatever, you know. It's not about tooting my own horn. It's about how I met Scott. I mean, Scotty was one of the first dudes I met. I started doing that in like 2020 during COVID. I was like sitting at home, like bored off my ass like everybody else was. And I'm like, there's got to be something I can do. And then it just came to me like, you know, God, intuition, whatever you want to call it. Some just said, hey, why don't you drive around your van and just give out socks, you know? Because that was the sad thing. It was like during COVID, yeah, everybody was doing what they could do. Everybody was, you know, worried and stuff. But the government, the cities, the towns, they were doing a horrible job helping the homeless. Like, that should have been one of the first populations you should have worried about because they're out there and they're together. And but anyways, that's a different story. I mean, Scotty would have agreed with me, though. We had many talks like this. Scott was a panhandler. He was a famous panhandler. I mean, one of the most famous panhandlers ever. Like, he had a lot of friends, you know, a lot of people. But that would give to him. But Scotty also had a problem. He had an addiction, you know. And before you go say, well, you know, they all do. They all are either alcoholics or drug addicts. You know, the thing is that a lot of my friends and family, even people that I went to church with, would say, well, you know, you shouldn't help those guys because they're just going to use it on drugs and stuff. And my thing was always this. When you give your niece or your nephew a $25 gift card to go to the mall, do you ask them for receipts? You don't, right? You don't care. They're going to go to the mall and they're going to buy something. So when you give a panhandler or any guy begging for change a couple of bucks, why are you worried about what they're going to buy with it? How do you know? I can tell you firsthand from literally being on the streets myself and doing this thing that a lot of those guys, doesn't matter if they're alcoholics or drug addicts, they have priorities. They know what they're going to buy. So I had to let that go out, you know. But Scotty, I pulled up on Scotty for the first time I met him. Like, I had seen him around and stuff, but he had never really, like, wanted anything. I pulled up on him one day at the set of lights, and I was like, you sure I can't talk you into a sandwich or something? I used to drive around with, like, subs and stuff. And he was like, nah, man, but here. And he handed me a gift card to McDonald's. I said, what's this? He goes, oh, there's like $20, $25 on there. Go buy everybody burgers, you know. And if you get a chance, bring me back one. And I was like, well, I ain't coming back to Subway. He's like, well, that means there's one more for somebody else then. That was Scotty. That's how Scotty was. Scotty was a drug addict, panhandling dude. But Scotty was a compassionate, humble, loving, he used to sit on that corner, dangerous intersection, and there'd be a lady in a wheelchair trying to cross the road. He would put down his money jar and everything, walk out in traffic and grab this lady, push the button, and walk her across the street. That was Scotty. Not Scotty the drug addict. Not Scotty. He was never the guy that yelled at cars. He never forced himself onto you. I mean, it was literally people that would go that way, the way that he, where he was. They would go all the way that way because he picked them up in the morning. He made them laugh. He had the best corner. We always called the best real estate in New Bedford. You know, he had the best corner. Like, it was, I don't, if you know anything about Fairhaven, New Bedford, it was the bridge that comes into New Bedford. He was at the top of the road right up by Purchase Street. So basically entering the city, the only way you could come into the city was over that bridge. And you would see Scotty if you hit that red light. And that red light is notorious to this day for always being too long. But he never, it didn't matter. He'd walk up to you. You didn't have nothing. Fine. He'd just be like, how's your day? You know? And he had haters. He had plenty of haters. He actually had some, I was with him a lot of times when the haters would drive by and like, I would want to say something, you know. I was at the time, I was like a studying born again Christian. I felt like saying, yeah, screw you, buddy. But this guy'd be like, nah, dude, don't worry about that. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not giving the story. I give the story a lot better than most people, but I can't stop thinking about how good this dude was. You know, he was a good dude. I mean, he had a past, and there was plenty of times we talked. That was the thing about Scotty. So I would go out. You know, I met him that one time in the McDonald's card, but that wasn't the last time. I mean, one time, he had a $100 Walmart card. People would give him, like, gift cards all the time. He had a $100 Walmart card. And he said, hey, if you give me $50, I'll give you this Walmart card. And I was like, dude, if I give you that $50, I know what you're going to do with that money. And I'm not trying to be that guy. The same guy I was talking about 5 minutes ago. I'm not trying to be that guy, but I don't know if I feel right about that. You know, I talked to my pastor. I was like, I'll get back to you. I went up, I saw my pastor, and I asked him, and my pastor's like, well, you know, you can't, my pastor was smart. He said, you can't tell what he's going to do with that money, and he was right. Exactly what I just said a couple minutes ago about how all my friends, and they don't know, you know, the whole gift card thing. But anyways, I went back, I gave him the $50, and he looked at me, and he said, you know, you're right, this is what I am going to do that with this money. I said, all right, well, still. You know, I can't control that. I couldn't stop him. I literally drove Scotty to rehab one time, all the way down, like, from New Bedford all the way to the other side of Plymouth and everything. I'd do that. I'd be there for him. But I couldn't control him. He was his own man, you know. But that Walmart gift card, like, he did that for me. Yeah, he got something out of it. But he could have sold that to anybody, $80, you know, $75. He could have sold it to any other car. But he told me, and I believe him, that he saved it for me because he knew that I was hard up on money at the moment because I was buying so much stuff for it was wintertime. So I was trying to buy sleeping bags for everybody. And he knew that I was going to use that. And that's what I did. You know, I paid 50 and he paid 50 and we gave people blankets. You know, we gave them hats and gloves. And that was Scotty, man. That was, other dudes would walk up on him and be like, yo, Scotty, can I bump $5? And he had no problem with it. No problem with it, man. He was making good money. You know, some weeks he'd make a couple $100. I loved it because at one point they installed these like bricks onto the curb so he couldn't stand out there. And Scotty, he didn't care me. He overcame it. There's dudes on his corner right now that can't walk on those stones because of the way they are. And Scotty was the only one that knew how to dance on those things. he made good money sometimes. Sometimes he didn't. But the thing was what nobody else knew, and I think a lot of people still don't know, is that Scotty would make, say he made $200 one day. Maybe $200, and one day was a great day for him. And yeah, he's going to use some of that money for drugs or pay back. He always paid back his dealers, which I always, you know, whatever. But he would use that money for other things, man. I would see him literally buy dinners for old ladies and stuff. Right next to where he stood, where he panhandled, was a tenement building for old folks. Basically broke old folks. It was a city-run thing. And he would help all those people. Scotty had history, man. He had a broken marriage, son he never saw, everything. I could relate with him. I still can relate to him. You know, he was up in the air about God. At that time, I was starting to be that way, you know. Like, it wasn't that he didn't believe. He believed, but I don't think he believed in the institutionalized version of it. And I agreed with him. You know, I agree with him now. I always said that, you know, the world needs more angels like Scotty, and I pray that's what he is now. That dude was the kind of dude, like, I would go out and I would hear, you know, I would give out food, give out whatever. Some guys would tell me their story for the week or whatever, tell me their story, their life story, and like I'd just be so depressed. I'd be crying in my van. Just like, why is it gonna be like that? And Scotty would walk up, tap my window, what's wrong with you? You know, and then just cheer me up. I told him, I said, hey man, I don't like when people say thank you. I mean, I like when people say thank you and all that, but I didn't want to be promoted as some, you know, like there was a guy that wanted to write a news story about me for doing the homeless outreach, and I told him, I was like, you need to go talk to somebody like Scott. And he did. He went and interviewed him, thankfully, but that turned into a clusterfuck because they did a good article, but they turned it around on him and made him look like the bad guy begging for money, and everybody just kept on leaving comments about how he was a crackhead and blah, blah, blah. Scotty wasn't a crackhead. He was very, very poignant about saying that I'm not a crackhead. I'm hooked on heroin, but I'm not a crackhead. So, the man had standards. He would always cheer me up. He would give me stuff. Like, he would trade me stuff. He'd be like, here, so-and-so down on the south end needs one of these. I talked to him the other day when I was getting breakfast at the shelter. Can you bring it down to him? I said, yeah, but what are you going to do? He would literally give me a sweatshirt that he was wearing for this other guy. I said, well, let me get you a sweatshirt. He's like, I don't know, just go do him first. And, but he would trade me stuff like, he loved sweet stuff like treats and stuff like that. You know, and he said it was because of the hair on, but I mean, I guess it was, but I don't know. I mean, he would eat Suzy Q's all day long if it was up to him. So, but I would trade him. I'd bring him like Twinkies or something like that. And he'd trade me like socks or something for somebody else. So. Never, I mean, I had all kinds of stuff in this van. He never took advantage of it, never asked for, like, he knew. He had his bad days where, you know, he didn't make enough money. And it got to a point in my friendship with him that, you know, I prayed and I talked and I tried to figure out what I was supposed to do. And when he'd be like, hey, man, I need an extra $10 to make it through the night. Because I knew what he was going to probably do with it. You know, he would tell me what he was going to do with it. But after being out there for a while and seeing people, you know, ODing and stuff like that, or being dope sick on the street, he was my friend. He was my brother. I had to help him out. And at the time, I felt so guilty. But, you know, now that I look back at it, dope sickness is not anything pretty. If you think people can just, you know, I tell that to a lot of my friends. That whenever I bring up the Scotty story or stuff like that, or somebody would say, oh, those guys are worthless and stuff, and they're all drug addicts, and I'd be like, have you ever tried quitting beer? No, I don't need to quit beer. I don't have a problem. I'm an alcoholic, which is bullshit because everybody I know is a bi-alcoholic just as much as I was. But, you know, like, it's not easy to quit. Just like it's not easy to quit alcohol. You quit alcohol cold turkey and without going to the hospital, detox, or anything like that, you're going to have problems. Trust me. I know. So you try to quit dope, or if you go a night without dope, it's going to be a horrible night. And yeah, maybe some guys need to hit rock bottom and get that, but not my friend. No. Call it a double standard, whatever you want, but I would have done anything for that dude. The one thing I didn't do, though, is I didn't go down and see him. So, long story short, Scotty got sober. You know, he was calling me all that. Like, we would talk all the time last spring. He's like, hey, I'm going to rehab. I was like, bro, I've heard this so many times. I mean, I literally drove you. I drove him to that rehab that one time over in Plymouth. And within 4 days, he was begging me to come pick him up. And I wasn't going to. I told him, I said, I'm not coming to pick you up unless they kick you out. Well, they kicked him out, so I had to go pick him up. But he got sober last year. You know, he had a lot of friends and a lot of people that loved him. And thankfully, one of the guys in the city got him into detox, and they put him down in the Cape. He went to Boston, then he went down to the Cape. And a few times he asked me to come down and see him. I never did, man. Because I'm horrible. I'm horrible with friends. I'm horrible with family. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm just that way, you know. Like, I don't want to get off on myself here, but it's like, I don't try to be that way. I just forget. I know that sounds bad, but I just forget. And that's what happened. I forgot. I forgot this past month. Like, I saw his post last month, and I forgot for a month, and here I am finding out, you know, that probably one of the days that I last looked at his profile was in the last weeks of September, and that's when he passed, and I never went back and looked again. He was doing great. I don't know how he died. I mean, I literally just found out right before I made this recording. Like, I don't know how he died. course, my mind is sitting here, you know, going in circles like, oh, did he OD or anything like that? But I don't care. I'm not even going to look that shit up because it don't matter. I don't care if he died from an overdose. I don't care if he died falling off a ladder. I don't care if he died from a heart attack. I don't care. All I care about is what he meant to me and what he put in me and instilled in me. And that was, no matter how hard shit can get, it could always be worse. Scotty always said that, always talked about that kind of way of life. And that's the funny thing, is all the guys I meet on the street, I hear all my friends and family and people I don't even know complaining all day long about this and that and having to pay this bill or not being able to get the iPhone 15 or this or that, you know, and none of them realize how good they really have it. And then I have people on the street that tell me, you know, I'll be like, hey, Billy, how's your day going? Could be worse. I used to hear that from Scotty all the time. I used to hear that from all kinds of guys. I still hear it from guys. These guys are living on the street, whether they're drug addicts, alcoholics, or they don't have a problem at all. They're living in a box or in a park or in their car. Their answer to that question always could be worse. Think about that next time you complain about something. You know, Scotty was a real dude. I don't know his whole... I know a lot of his story from what he told me. I don't know if it was true. I don't know if it isn't. I don't really care. Because I haven't always told the truth. It doesn't matter because our friendship was true. And that's all that really matters. You know, he was a good dude. He is a good dude. We shared a lot in common. He lived in San Diego right around the same time I did. We used to talk about all the places that he would... I lived in PB. He lived in Mission Beach, which is right next door. Same time I did. Probably hanging out at the same... But we did hang out a little, like, because we were talking about the same bars. Like, it's crazy to think about that. Like... Some dude that grew up, he grew up in Jersey. He moved to San Diego around the same time I did. We were at the same bars, whatever, probably the same parties. And then I meet him again 10, 12 years later on the streets of New Bedford. he was just like a lot of my friends. Like, he was a normal dude who ran into a drug problem. But when I know Scotty, he grew up in Jersey. You know, he had his problems, he had his run-ins with the law and all that stuff. He became a longshore fisherman in the Carolinas. Then he came up to New Bedford, where a lot of guys come up to. Good money, you know. Well, it was back then. Now they're robbing those guys, but... and he got hooked on... And I've heard this story more than once, and there's a lot of guys on the streets up here that had the same story. They became fishermen up here. Well, the thing is, you go up for... 7 to 12 days and you come back and you got a wad of money from all the stuff you caught. Ain't much else to do in New Bedford but do drugs, drink alcohol, or go to church. And you can do it with all the two things and still go to church, but became a drug addict. You know, I love that. I just can't... I've told the story of my relationship with Scotty to so many of my friends and family. Not everybody, but some people. And I can't believe sometimes when I hear people say, well, you know... He's a drug addict. You know, he's never going to change. And blah, blah. And it's like, I just sit there and I look at him like, yo, you drink like 12 beers a day. You know? You're an alcoholic. No, I'm not. I'm not like those guys on the street. You're exactly like those guys on the street, except for you have a house. But you don't see it that way. Some for some reason, not having a house or not having a lot of money or anything like that, that makes you think less of these people. That don't make any sense to me. It'll never make any sense to me. And I'm talking about people that are good-hearted people that I've known a long time. But they vibe that way when it comes to certain things. Scotty wasn't one of them dudes. I don't know what happened. It sucks because, like, the last message I sent him was, like, you need to get, you know, he's almost on his 1 year. You need to get in that 1 year and you need to go out there and tell others. Because he was that dude. He was the dude that he would drive around in the van with me. You know, to stay warm. You know, if it was a cold day, he'd drive around with me and I'd be giving out stuff and he'd get out and he knew everybody. Everybody knew him. Like, homeless people or cops or everybody. Everybody knew him. Like, and he would just drive around with me and just, like, he would get out and I would be giving somebody a sweatshirt or something like that. And he'd get out and talk to him and be like, yo, how's everything going? Blah, blah, checking on him. And in a lot of ways, he was my ear to the street. Like, if I... drive around in circles, couldn't help anybody find anybody, I'd be like, yo, where is everybody? And he'd know exactly where everybody was. Like, I mean, it sucks because just like many other friends and many other family members, I didn't know. and I took it for granted.
And I fucking hate myself for it. I took our friendship for granted. I still do that to this day. You know, I have friends that I grew up with that I don't talk to them, and it's not their fault, it's mine. It's because I think about them and stuff, but I just don't reach out to them. And this is something that I've been thinking about for days now with one of my friends, John, and I've been thinking about how I need to man up or do whatever the heck it is and just go see him, you know, and I see this thing about Scotty, and it just tells me, there's your reason. There's your reason to go see John. Scotty actually reminds me a lot of Johnny Irock. A lot of Johnny. Johnny Irock went through he wasn't on the street or anything like that, but he went through his drug problem, and he came out on top. And that's where I saw Scotty going. I don't even care, like I said, if he fell off the wagon and got, and he overdosed. I don't care that we all mess up, like, but dude had so much. He had so much, like, he could have done so much. I mean, he did a lot. He did a lot while he was out here. I saw it firsthand. He did a lot for a lot of people. You know, I don't know. I feel like shit, but I also, it's not about me. It's feel bad because a 6-year-old son. He talked to him, and he was getting better at it and all. And that kid's. I pray that, like, I don't know how it was with his family. I mean, I know a little bit, but I pray that kid, no matter what the relationship was with them, I pray that he'll know that his father was filled with compassion and love. He had his bad days, just like I have them, just like you have them. But I mean, the world lost a good person, and the world loses good people every second of the day. You know, Scotty taught me a lot of lessons, a lot of things. He taught me a lot of things. Like I thought I knew I'd be all right doing this and doing that on the street. You know, Mr. Big tough guy that I am, and ex-drug dealer and all this shit, and I know but I didn't know shit. Scotty saved me from a lot of dangerous situations. You can't just walk into a homeless camp trying to give out socks. You gotta walk out with your own, you know. When I first started doing the homeless thing, like, a lot of people thought I was a narc, which I always thought was funny, like, narc driving around in an old-ass van, but it makes sense, you know. But once Scotty got to know me, you know, like, he had been watching me. I knew he had been watching me. Every time I was, like, at the bus station, something passing out food, he'd be over in the corner smoking a cigarette just watching me. And that one time when I finally talked to him, that damn red light, I'm thankful, you know, I complain about that red light being so long, but I would have never talked to him. Well, I probably wouldn't have talked that long, but he talked to me, gave me that gift card for McDonald's, and after that, we just became friends, and he always watched out for me. He told everybody, he's like, yeah, dude's cool, he's not a narc or anything like that. It was Scotty that did all that, you know. I wanted to find somebody, like, it's been a lot of guys that, I don't know where they are now, I don't know if they passed on or just moved on to another location, but if I ever, like, was really worried about somebody, I could talk to Scott, and if he didn't know them personally, he'd find out, you know. He was a good dude. He was my brother. He was my brother. He listened, and he cared. When I was having doubts about my faith and everything, I tried getting my pastor and everybody to sit down with me. Nobody would sit down with me. Scott sat down with me. And he listened. He didn't interrupt nothing. He'd give me his point of view, but that was it. He didn't interrupt me. He just let me talk. We had a lot in common. You know, I'm reminded of something that Johnny Irock said to me once. And the reason why I've always loved him and will love him, and I will go see him, but I'm reminded of John once. I told John, I texted him once, years ago, and I said, hey man, I'm sorry I have not kept up to you. I'm not the best friend, you know. I don't know what it is. I haven't kept up, you know, and I'm sorry I haven't called you or checked in on you or anything like that. And John wrote back something along the lines of, you'll always be my brother and you'll always be my friend. And then he wrote back, until the wheels fall off. And I tell everybody about that, man. Like, people say it every so often, but that's how John is. Like, I'm going to go see John. I'm going to walk in, and it's going to be like I just saw him yesterday. And that's how Scotty was. I feel bad that I never went down to the Cape and saw him. Scotty will be my friend until the wheels fall off of eternity. I don't know what's next, brother. I don't know how it works. At times I thought I did, but I don't know how it works. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you can hear me. I don't know. But I love you. I'm thankful that you were a part of my life.
I'm thankful that you will always be a part of my life. You definitely are the meaning of led by example. Don't take things for granted. I know he taught me a valuable lesson today. I love you all.